We are looking into Moses' life, been looking at Moses' life the last few weeks. Let's go into our passage today. So just a bit of context is we are looking at Moses' life. You remember, or some of you might remember, that Hebrews have been for 400 years slaved in Egypt, and they're kind of quite annoyed and they're crying out to God, and God hears a cry and sends Moses to help them out and to save them. And throughout kind of the whole of the things we've been looking at, there's been 9 plagues where God is actually telling through Moses, the Pharaoh, saying, set my people free. If not, this is going to happen. And that thing happens, and Pharaoh kind of says, yes, I'm going to set them free, and then he doesn't. And it goes each time kind of a bit further, and each time the plagues are worse, because Pharaoh just won't, is a really stubborn person, and won't let them free. And we can understand why he would be stubborn, because you have these, like, 1 million Hebrews working for free for you as slaves, and therefore you would never want to get rid of such easy task force for you. So we can understand why he would do that, but it gets really tricky because now we get into a bit where the insistence has been so big, and the kind of the bad things that have been happening to Egyptians have been getting worse and worse and worse, and now we get into one that's quite tricky, because for us in our context to hear what happened at that time is really, really hard. So a few of you might remember what the 10th plague was. So the 10th plague was that actually Moses comes up and says, if you don't set my people free, then the firstborn of every Egyptian will die. And Pharaoh says no. And basically then the next day, and we're going to talk a bit more about it, the firstborn of every Egyptian dies. And then Pharaoh says, okay, go, please go as far as quickly as possible. I don't want to deal with this anymore. And when we read it, sometimes we can have a very like simplistic, idea of saying, oh yes, this is great, God set them free. But we also have the other side, which is really harsh, which means that God had to do something really bad to the Egyptian people for him to set them free. And actually God is the God of everyone. So even though he identified with the Jews at that time, He still loved the Egyptians, and he still, I think his heart probably broke to have to do that, to have to go so deep into kind of judging them or doing something bad to them to set his people free. There's a really tricky passage and hard for us to understand, but it's harder because we live in a context that's completely different. We're living 5,000 years later to when all of these things happened. And I read once of a historian saying, it's really hard for us, and we'll never understand the mindset of the people living in the First and Second World War. And if we could, it's hard for us to understand how people thought 100 years ago. You can imagine 5,000 years ago, and where slavery was very common, and the only way to stop an oppressor was sometimes having to do something really harsh. And so it creates a lot of issues, this passage, but one of the things I found is that sometimes things aren't as simple as we think. Sometimes there are certain areas where actually if there's no other means, then we have to do something more drastic. And I was reading a few years ago a story of a guy called Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's one of the best theologians of the 20th century, but he was a Christian in Germany during the Nazi regime. Unfortunately, the church in Germany was quite in favor of the regime, which is one of the biggest disasters in our church history, having kind of all these bad times where we allied with these oppressors. But he was kind of part of the resistance. So he was fighting against Hitler and actually saying, as Christians, we can't permit this to happen. We can't let him continue oppressing people. And at the end, he was part of a plot to kill Hitler. And they caught him, and he ended up in a concentration camp, and they killed him just before VE Day. So it was a kind of a sad story, but it creates this kind of tension as was what he was doing right or wrong. And I think sometimes we're quite easy to say it's kind of black and white, this is good, this is bad, or something like that. And sometimes it's much harder than that. And actually sometimes to stop an oppressor, then you need to do something that wouldn't be kind of your normal way of acting. And I've learned that being a parent, actually, because I think before having children, I was quite a nice person. I'd say generally maybe above average in nice person. I wouldn't ever, ever shout at anyone. I'd never kind of insist so much in certain things. I'd never put someone on a step for 5 minutes, even though they're crying. I'd never, ever even think of anything like that. And then suddenly, I became this horrible person. So for those of you who are teenagers, your parents weren't always horrible. There was a time when they were actually nice people, or at least some of them. But you realize that sometimes you have to do things which you aren't, it wouldn't be your natural way of thinking. Like, if I tell Benjamin something twice in a nice, calm way, which would be my first intention, he'd just continue doing it. And then I shout, and he continues, and I shout again, and he continues. And then I put him on a step, and he cries, and then he goes back and does it again. And then I have no idea what to do. And that's parenting in a nutshell, no idea what to do. But you realize that you have to react in a way that wouldn't be your natural way. And I think I wouldn't be God's first choice to have to go through 9-10 plagues to free his people from Egypt. I think he gave Pharaoh a chance every time, and every time Pharaoh said no, and then he had to go a bit deeper and try and stop him. But it is a very complicated passage. So what I want to look at today is God's heart for the oppressed, because if you look at the passage, it's actually the Egyptians are oppressing God's people, and God always has a heart for the oppressed. And throughout the Bible, you'll always find that God is always trying to set people free. His heart is always to save those who are oppressed, who are going through difficulties. And just a quote from Bonhoeffer, who I love, and he says, "Not to speak is to speak, not to act is to act." And he actually, against a Nazi regime, he had to act. So let's look a bit at our passage today. And our passage today says, and this is a bit where they're talking about the Passover, and I'm going to explain what that is a bit in a while. It says, "Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you, as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, 'What does this ceremony mean to you?' then tell them, 'It is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians.' Then the people bowed down and worshipped him." So Passover, which is the kind of the main festivity in the Old Testament, is celebrating this time when God passed over the Hebrew houses to save them from the Egyptians who had them enslaved. And one thing that I find really interesting is that God could have easily just said, "Okay, I'm going to save you and I'm going to strike the Egyptians and then you're set free." But actually he gives them some instructions where they're supposed to do something to be set free. They're supposed to, they kill lambs and they eat them and they put the bloods on the door, and actually that blood in the house means that they are God's people and that they'll be saved. And what I find really interesting is that God always gives us the opportunity to do something to accept his freedom, to accept what he has to offer. He offers it to everyone, but he's expecting us to reply in some way. And that's what he did with his people at the time. So going back to the heart of what I want to share is that this story is all about slaves being set free. This story is all about the oppressed, the captives, who are being able to be set free. And this is a story that actually in the last 100 years or more, slaves always thought this was a brilliant story because it spoke about a God that cared for them, a God that was interested in them. So you can imagine these slaves in these ships going maybe from Africa to America. And for them, this story was great because they thought, there's a God who is interested in us. There's a God who's interested in me. There's a God who sees me as the one who he wants to save. And these, white people who are oppressing me, they are the Egyptians. They are the bad guys. They're the ones who are doing wrong. And God is on my side and God wants to save me. And I feel that that's such a powerful thing that they remembered these stories and said, God is the one who wants to set the oppressed free, who wants to get those slaves and get them to be free. And some people in history were able to capture that and fight for that. And one of them was an English guy who's one of my heroes. He's called William Wilberforce. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he was the guy who fought against the laws of slavery. And actually, I think it was more or less 5 years after he died, after fighting for 40 years, slavery was abolished in England. So, and it was all through this guy called William Wilberforce. And he, when he was young, he had like a really nice relationship and encounter with God. And he was dwelling between becoming a vicar or becoming a member of parliament. And he was kind of not sure what to do. And in prayer and with a mentor, he finally decided he was going to go into government. And through that, he was able to change, or persuade people to change the laws and actually set the captives free. And that's why he's one of my heroes. And he says, "You may choose to look the other way, but you can never say again that you did not know." And that's what he'd do in Parliament when he was addressing the issue. He'd come up and share the stories and say, "You know, look, guys, now I've told you this, all of this is happening. This is how slaves are being treated." He'd bring slaves to Parliament and kind of just fight their cause. And I think that's what Christians should do. That's who we are. That's what we are called to do. We are called to fight the cause of the oppressed and the slaves and the poor and those who are struggling and those who are having difficulties, because that's what the Bible is all about. That's what God did every time, and that's what was the heart of Jesus' ministry. And Jesus, when he was starting his ministry, this is what it says of him. They were reading an Old Testament passage, and it said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free." And when Jesus was starting his ministry, his time on earth, this is what he said, "This is my goal, this is what I've come to do." And he actually says, "This has been fulfilled today, this is what I'm going to do." And I remember maybe a year ago or two, and my friend Nathan was back there. I didn't know you were coming, Nathan. He had this T-shirt on. And we sing a song here in churches, "I'm no longer a slave to sin, I am a child of God." So he was wearing this T-shirt, and I said, "Oh, that's a great T-shirt. Is it because of the song? Is it kind of with a kind of this Christian message of not being slaves of sin?" And he said, "No, actually, it's not. It's because in the UK there's something like 30,000 slaves, more or less." I thought, "Oh, that's ridiculous. I had no idea there's 30,000 slaves. And around the world, that's even worse. So there is still a cause for us to fight. We are called to fight for the freedom of the oppressed, of the slaves, of those who are having difficulties." And that's not only kind of actual slaves, but there's slaves to personal image, to slaves to expectations of others, there's slaves to other oppressions, there's slaves to addictions, there's slaves to not feeling worthy, there's slaves to appearance, there's slaves to so many things. And we are called to work with God to set them free, because that's what the Passover was all about, setting free those people who were oppressed. And there's a quote from another guy who I admire a lot. It's called Desmond Tutu. I don't know if you've heard of him. He was fundamental in the fight against apartheid in South Africa. And he says, "If you're neutral in situations of injustice, you have chosen the side of the oppressor." And he actually adds to that, and he says, "If an elephant has its foot on the tail of a mouse, and you say that you're neutral, the mouse will not appreciate your neutrality." If you're neutral in situations of injustice, you have chosen the side of the oppressor. And I think as Christians, our call, or part of our call, is to fight for the cause of all the oppressed. And that's not only people around us, that's kind of also around the world. And that's why we partner with CSW, that's fighting, and Christian Aid, and even people like Happy Child against the injustice of these teenage mums in Brazil. So we are called to fight their cause. We are called to be the ones that stand beside the oppressed and the slaves and those who are going through difficulties. And then the passage says this: "During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, 'Up, leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go and worship the Lord.'" Because the whole thing, they were wanting to leave Egypt to be able to worship their God. And so he says, "Go, worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and herds as you have said, and go, and also bless me." And I love that end bit, like, "also bless me." He just realized that God is so powerful. He's just say, "Okay, just leave, but give me your blessing. Don't come back. Don't fight against me again. I just want you to leave, and I want the blessing of this powerful God." And what I love about this bit is that actually God saves them. It's not only that he has a heart for the slaves. It's not only that he has a heart for the oppressed. It's also that he does something about it. He joins into the cause and fights with them. And he frees them. He hears their cry. He heard their prayers. And now he's saving them from the oppressor, from the Egyptians. And they're free to go. And this is actually the biggest act of salvation in the Old Testament. This is kind of the heart of the Old Testament, is that God set them free to go and worship him. So the theme we had for today was celebrating freedom. So we've been talking a bit about what freedom is and how does God free us and how he's called us to be a people who bring freedom to people around us, who fight for freedom around the world. But we also call to celebrate, and we celebrate what God has done for us. We celebrate what he has done in the past, and we celebrate what he'll do in the future. And that's why when we gather as a church, we share communion, because we remember what Jesus did for us. That's why we sing all these songs that talk about how great our God is, because we celebrate what he's done and who he is. And in our passage today, it says, celebrate the festival of unleavened bread. Because it was on this very day that I brought your divisions out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. So it's a call to celebrate and to tell our next generation, the people coming afterwards, we have to celebrate, because we celebrate the salvation of our God. A God who doesn't only see our need, doesn't only see our oppression, and doesn't only see our addictions and our difficulties, but he acts upon it. If we just give our little step, if we are able to, looking at our passage, paint the wall with the blood of a lamb, which I'm not expecting you to do. But if we just able to open up and let him free us, he wants to free us from all of these things that are oppressing us in different ways. So we celebrate freedom. As a church, we love to see how God frees us and how he frees other people, and we celebrate it. So I'm going to show a little clip of a movie. Simon preached a few weeks ago. I showed a clip of my favorite Disney movie. This time I'm going to show a clip of my favorite play. And it so much talks about our call to help the oppressed and to join in to their song and to celebrate in a way with them. So if we can have... You're ready to sing. I love it. I'm going to be all week singing Les Miserables songs probably. Sorry, guys. But God is not indifferent to the oppressed, to the pain people are feeling, to the loneliness and to the bullied and to the people who are suffering mental health and anxiety and depression. God is not indifferent to the people around us who are suffering in different ways. And he has a heart for it, and his heart beats for that. And he invites us to join in that beating of his heart and to pray for them and to go out and help them and to be part of it. And actually, in many ways, it's our story as well, isn't it? We are those people as well that need to be saved, that need to him to rescue us when we're down and when we're lonely and when we're going through difficulties and when we're dealing with our anxieties. We need him to come and someone to come alongside us as well. But that's God's heart, is to go and help out those who are in need. A few weeks ago, I preached at the 11, and I came across this passage. I just wanted to share it with you, because it's such a declaration of what Jesus does in our lives and how he's not indifferent. And this is when John the Baptist is asking about him and kind of asking, is Jesus actually the Messiah? And this is what Jesus says. Go back and tell John what's going on. The blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the wretched of the earth learn that God is on their side. And for us today, it would be tell the poor and the mentally ill and the discarded and the unloved and the unwanted and the lost and the lonely and the ill, tell you and me, tell all of us, that God is on our side, that God wants to fight our battles, that God wants us to let him be our savior, to let him be the one who comes and frees us from our oppression. But also, he invites us to join in to what he is doing and help others who are suffering, who are going through difficulties. And I think that's the heart of this passage, is how God isn't indifferent to the cry of his people, to the suffering of his people. And he goes through a big extent and has to do kind of a lot of things to save them. because he loves them so much. And he's not indifferent to their cry. And he's not indifferent to the cry of the people around us, people who are suffering around us. And he's calling us to be part of what he's doing, to reach out and to be able to say, tell the people around us in Ashdod that the blind see, that the lame walk, that the lepers are cleansed, that the deaf hear, that the dead are raised, the wretched of the earth learn that God is on their side. So I'd just like to finish with maybe a challenge or three things to think about today. And that's basically, if you feel oppressed in any way, if you feel you're in a prison, if you feel that you are addicted to some things or that there's some things that you can't let go, or you're really going through something difficult, just ask God to save you, because he heard the cry of his people 5,000 years ago, and he hears his cry all throughout history, and he intervenes, he acts in our favor. But also to join in to his heart beating for those who are suffering, and join in and help out those who are going through difficulties. And finally, to celebrate the freedom. He brings freedom to us. He brings freedom to people around us. He wants us to be free, and he wants us to celebrate that freedom. So I'm going to invite the band to come up and lead us in a time of celebrating freedom. But before they start playing, if you'd like to close your eyes, and we're going to spend a minute in prayer. And if there's something you feel you need freedom, or you need God to set you free, or to help you out with something, just ask him in the silence of your heart. And also be aware of what God might be asking you to do to help someone else who's suffering. Let's have a minute in silence, and then I'll close in prayer. God, we hear your heart beating for those who are suffering, those who are going through injustice, those who are bullied, those who are lonely, those who are ill, those who are lost. Lord, we want to join into what you're doing. We don't want to be indifferent to their cry. We want to stretch out your love to them. We want to remind them that there's a God who saves, that there's a God who's there for them, there's a God that fights a battle, there's a God that loves them. And Lord, you know that we also have our own struggles and our own things that we're dealing with. And in many ways, our own lack of sense of worth and love. And we pray, Lord, that you'll just pour out your Spirit over us and remind us who we are in you, how much you love us, our worth. Lord, we want to celebrate the freedom you've given us. We want to take hold of that freedom and share it with people.